Welcome to the Homeschool Together podcast. Where one working mom and a stay-at-home dad help you navigate the nuts and bolts of the growing and dynamic world of homeschooling.
With a focus on early learners, like me.
All the ins and outs of building and maintaining your homeschool life.
Homeschool!
Find out tips and tricks to make things like this easier.
I'm reading.
And ultimately, enjoy educating your kids. And what's that last thing?
Have fun together. Did I do good, Daddy?
Yeah, you did, sweetie. Good job. Hello and welcome back to Homeschool Together. Thank you so much for joining us. If you have a chance, head down into the show notes. If you're looking for your around the world journey next year, you're getting that all planned up. I know a few of you guys have emailed us about the around the world combo, and Ari will be happy to send that along to you if you have proof of purchase with your Torchlight and Build Your Library. If you do have a chance, head down into the show notes and check out the Gumroad store. We have some really cool user guides and walkthrough guides and media guides and book guides available for all the various continents that you will see on that around the world journey. So feel free to take a look at that and head on over to YouTube and hit subscribe, because we're putting out a lot of videos. Things are happening. Things are brewing. We got the witch's cauldron bubbling and we got some things happening. So hopefully if you guys are interested in seeing us talk about ancient civilizations, we're putting out a few more videos coming up. So definitely check out that. Today we are talking about two curriculums. We know you are out there, families with children, and you're looking to homeschool. And some of you have young kids, pre-K, K, and then some of you may have third and fourth graders. And today we are going to try and hit something
like us. Well, so, we've wrapped a couple of curriculums lately. We thought, you know, rather than do an episode for each, we wanted to just kind of do a little potpourri and talk about a few of the things we finished and give you our thoughts.
So let's go right into the big one, the big kahuna, the Right Start D. We have finished all 138 lessons of it, and
not insignificant.
Not insignificant. And if you think about it, you know, if you're taking notes at home, that's about, you know, two lessons every other, you know, lesson every other day is kind of what you're looking at to complete that curriculum in a year.
Yeah. As we homeschool year round, obviously it would be more if you want to do this in like a 10-month school year.
Exactly. So you'll have to really kind of churn at maybe, I'm guessing, the three lessons a week type of clip, which can be daunting for some families.
I think so. For background, if you haven't been listening to the podcast before, we've been doing Right Start Math since level A. So we started that with our daughter when she was in kindergarten. She's really math minded, so she's moved a little bit fast on this. She's not a genius by any means. She's just very math minded. She's moving much slower on reading and other things. She's more on grade level, but this one's moved really, really pretty quickly for her. And the way that we use Right Start, we do the Right Start level first, and then we follow it up with a Math Mammoth.
And we're right now in the middle of that.
Yeah. Right. And so we had to wait a little bit because Math Mammoth doesn't start till grade one. So we couldn't do this right after Right Start A. So, you know, the timing wasn't perfect on that. But what we really like about this combo is that Right Start is big about the background and
the concepts
and really kind of getting that a real solid understanding of that. And then Math Mammoth is great on that kind of repetitive practice. So that's kind of the model that we've been using. But we have been using Right Start from the beginning. So how did you feel that D compared to the previous levels? Was it kind of just right in the same vein, or did you have, were there some differences in this level?
So the things that were the same, the nuance of the concepts, attacking it from multiple different levels, multiple different variations, hammering that concept over and over again, looping back, hitting it again, doing something else, coming back, hitting it again. This book, the Green Book, which is level D, pretty much dominated completely by multiplication. This is you tease a little bit of it in C and D, level C, talk a little bit about division, little bit about a multiplication, do a little bit of it. But this is the big multiplication, welcome to multiplication a book. We spent, I would say, almost 60% or more on multiplication or multiplication derivative concepts.
So how is this different from like we had to memorize multiplication tables when we were in school? Is there times tables that they're memorizing as part of this too? Are they doing some different conceptual things as well?
So they kind of, what was really cool is it kind of changed how I see the multiplication table. As this, we always imagined this is this grid, right? The 12 by 12. That's the one we want everybody to memorize. Beyond 12 times 12, get a calculator.
We have a great like Pop-It thing for that.
I was going to bring that up.
Yep. We'll have to put in the show notes because it is awesome.
So they really attacked the multiplication table, I think, very thoughtfully. They started off on the easy stuff. So if you can imagine the multiplication table is just your big grid, 12 by 12. You can write off a number of the columns right away. 1 times 2, 1 times 6, 1 times 7. Those are all very easy. The 10 times 10, 10 times, you know, the 10 times 1, 10 times 2. Those are very easy. And so they get you right into it, you know, doing your basics. I call it the upper left quadrant, right? The very simple multiplication problems, 2 times 2, 3 times 3, and really hit you with the concept of, okay, we're doing addition multiple times, right? Mm-hmm. This is, start to think about it in these terms. Here's some example problems. Here's some, you know, word problems to kind of extrapolate on that. Let's talk a little bit about area, and you start to hit a little few area problems. So they're attacking it from multiple directions, and I thought that was really good. Then they started showing you tricks. Like, okay, instead of us having to worry about multiplying by 5 times 6, let's just start memorizing counting by 5s. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 60, right? You just go right on up. Mm-hmm. And you can start hopping in your mind, 5, 10, 15, 20, 20, and just start counting with your fingers, and you can quickly get to those answers. And why this is really, I thought this was really cool, is showing these tricks. And so what you start doing is you take the multiplication, you know, table, and instead of attacking it just with brute force and, you know, cards.
Which is what we did.
You just start like taking a Sharpie and just saying, these are easy to solve. Anything times 11 up to 9 is super easy. It's 8 times 11, 88. 6 times 11, 66. You get all these tricks, right? Mm-hmm. And so you just start like crossing off pieces of the table, and they started showing you all these tricks and tips and all this type of stuff. And eventually the multiplication table, the difficulty of memorizing falls into this little heart-shaped section, kind of just offset down at the bottom right. And then that's really where you need to put your flashcards into action. The 7 times 8s, the 6 times, you know, 7, those type of things where you just got to like, oh gosh, I can't remember it. But then they give you these really cool tricks. Well, 6 times 7 is a really good example, and they really show you how to do this. Well, 6 times 7, you can try to memorize that, or you can memorize 3 times 7 plus 3 times 7. Oh, I remember, that's 21. 21 plus 21 is 42.
Oh my God, that's brilliant.
And so they start breaking these up. And so all of a sudden you start crossing off that little heart-shaped section that's really challenging for learners. Obviously the 11 times, that bottom right section, the 11 times 10, 11 times 11, those are challenging. The 12 times 9, the 12 times 8, those are challenging, right? On the outer edge of it. So you have to kind of brute force those. But those ones in the middle, they start to break them up and show you these little tricks on how you can mentally do the math. And I thought that was a really, really thoughtful way of taking what could be a very challenging, you know, brute force method of doing multiplication and memorizing it to being something more intuitive. Obviously the 9 times whatever, man, up to 9 times 10 is super easy because you got 10 fingers. You just do the trick with your fingers. Mm-hmm. Again, you got all these tools. And so what was really cool about it is that once you learn those tricks, it helps you later in the curriculum for this one to do division, because it's just a reverse. So if they say 21, you know, divided by 7, you go, oh, I know 7 times 3 is 21, right? So you've already got it ready to go. So division kind of just falls right into place. I thought that was a really, really cool way to approach it. Kind of, I don't remember learning it when I was younger because it was so long ago.
Oh, I do. It was brute force. You had the 12 by 12 grid and you had to just fill it out, and you had to just practice and practice and practice. Yeah. But the whole like breaking up into
pieces
that you would then add together, I feel like.
Yeah.
I was today years old when I realized that you could do that.
It was just a lot of these little,
and that's kind of crazy.
It's a lot of these cool that's little tricks.
Awesome.
Yeah, especially because they really want you to kind of do it in the memorization, because it then sets the stage for starting to do multiplication of larger numbers by single digit numbers. So say you have like 512 times 4, right? all of a sudden you start doing the, you know, 4 times 2, 4 times 1, 4 times 5. And then you're saying, well, it's 4 times 2 is 8. Well, when I do 4 times 1, that's 4 really times 10. So I have to write 40. And then 4 times 5 is really 500. So that's, you know, 2000, right? So, and then you're adding all those numbers up. I didn't like how they did the, because when I remember doing it, when you're doing long multiplication, you don't start adding up the larger numbers until you get to multiple digits that you're multiplying by, multiple place values. They did this in this one, and I didn't like that, so I taught her my way, which was just treat it like an addition problem. So if it's like, you know, 56 times 5, and you go 5 times 6, well, that's 30, right? So you write 0 and carry the 3. So then you do the multiplication, then you add the additional 10s that carry. I thought that was a little bit more intuitive for her, so I went ahead and did it that way. So I didn't do it their way in the book, but that was just my preference. So
I love that we can do that we can decide, like, hey, this is easier this way, or
and really having the popper, as you pointed out, there's this really nice, they have these colorful rainbow colored poppers that are available for multiplication table. And this was really, really helpful for my daughter. And I they have some of them that have colors going horizontally, and then they, when they meet their like the 8 times 8, it changes color and carries that color all the way up. So you can find the squares very easily, but you couldn't use the rows. So I went to the one that just had the horizontal rows, was each different color. So it was like red, green, blue, all the way across. That just visually worked better with me, and I figured it would work better with her, and it did. Having the multiplication tables printed off, not just the popper chart, but having one printed off, and also the fraction chart, having that printed off and just readily available is very, very useful, because not just multiplication, but you start to get into fractions, and they treat fractions as division, which is correct. But just teaching that concept was a little challenging. They have some nice, we have nice manipulatives with Right Start, but I found that just having a few of these things just printed off and readily available to reference without having to pull out all the manipulatives and everything was kind of a nice little hack for this entire thing. So I just had a couple print offs just in the back of every single back of the book that I just kept pulling out. Just said, hey, when you think about your fractions, here's your fraction chart. When you think about your multiplication, here's your multiplication chart. Mm-hmm. And it was just something for her to utilize.
That's and great.
Another thing that we kept going. There was a lot of rounding as well with this one. So rounding to the tens, to the hundreds, to the thousands, that was in there. A lot of graphing, a lot more graphing in this section of Right Start. So that was pretty cool. They did more geometry and distance and area and perimeter. They captured that a bunch of times. A little bit of money and a little bit of time, but nowhere near as much as on the previous section. So I think they're kind of assuming that you kind of have this by now. Where the money came in was doing cents, and so writing things with decimals, and they're doing multiplication with those. So they were using money, but actually leveraging it against the multiplication. So that was kind of an interesting thing as well, and so a little bit of the division as well.
What was the manipulative use like for level D? Was there a lot of manipulative use with this one? It seemed lower manipulative, but I wasn't home for all of the lessons.
It was. A lot of the manipulatives that we used were a lot of rulers, and we get into angles as well. So you use some kind of protractor. Basically, there was a 30, 60, 90 triangle. So right triangle that you have to draw lines, and some of the geometry stuff that you had to do. That was a bulk of the manipulatives. There was not a lot in this one.
So if someone was starting at level D, they might not need to invest in the full manipulative kit.
I can honestly tell you the only time we pulled out manipulative stuff was when you're doing the fractions, because you got all the pieces, like, oh, here's a fourth, a fourth, a fourth, and a fourth, and then compare that to, you know, a whole number.
Oh yeah, with cards.
But because they're all the pieces and it was hard to keep it together, I just found that printing off that fraction chart, and maybe we'll put a link in the show notes for you to just print one off, that just looking at it was all that she needed to see. Mm-hmm. So that was probably the extent there. They did do a lot of the card games, but we kind of skipped those for most of the time because we were playing other games. I was playing kind of Zeus on the Loose. There was a few other multiplication, just even Yahtzee as well, when you're having to add up a bunch of numbers. Like if you're just playing simple games, you get a lot of multiplication in there. So I was kind of okay with that. doing like Silver and Gold as well. We played a lot of that. Just keeping score of things. Anytime, any type of game that has kind of that kind of carrying effect where you're not just playing the game, but you play it multiple times and it's like the first person to 100 loses or the first person to 0 loses, that type, those type of games, you're adding up like 10, 10, 10. And then so doing some quick multiplication helps you get through that. So I found that to be a little bit more helpful than playing kind of like, the thing I don't like about the card games as much is that it's like, oh, you have a, you know, pack of bicycle cards, but then you got to learn these new rules and you spend so much time learning the rules. And we have these games that we already play already. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to waste a lot of time teaching the rules because we already kind of know how to play it. And the only thing that I'm doing is I'm shifting the scorekeeping over to her. And that's just where, you know, she's doing math there and I don't have to do the scorekeeping. So that was kind of the extent of the manipulatives in some respect, mm-hmm. but really having the popper chart was really helpful. Really, really helpful for her. I allowed her to use the popper chart and the unit, the fraction chart in her exams as well. So I said, okay, I'll let you have this. Some math problems I would mark where she wasn't allowed to use the popper because I wanted her to memorize, you know, okay, what is 5 times 6? Or figure it out mm-hmm. using one of the tricks. Like 5 times 6 is, you know, 5 times 3 plus 5 times 3, right? So being able to do that in her head was more powerful so that she can start to like associate with certain answers. So I would mark which ones that I didn't want her to use the popper chart or the multiplication table for. So I kind of like pulled it. I gave it to her a little bit and then I would pull it away.
Okay.
The big, big change that I noticed with this curriculum was a lot more of the print off pages. Almost every single lesson had a print sheet where you had to do problems. And most of the sheets had essentially review problems at the top, which was super awesome because I remember the last curriculum, I was having to create a lot of problems. And this one was really nice. They were giving you a ton of review problems right up at the top. And so I felt like we were getting a ton of just the mechanical work of doing the problems over and over and over again. But it wasn't to the point where it was like nauseating, where like you would lose your learner. It's like 5 or 6 problems, get you warmed up, head right into the whatever the lesson is. And then you have to do, you know, another like 5 or 6 problems, and that's the entire lesson. So you teach your little bit of a concept, you hop right into the lesson. Eventually you get into a nice rhythm and you're not going into the book as much. You're just like really just doing the lessons and you go, okay, what are they teaching today? Oh, okay, they're teaching this. This is how they're teaching it. Okay, got it. And then we sit down and we do that. I wasn't using the guide as much as I had in the past, which was, I think, cool. Maybe it's a sign of becoming more sophisticated as like, you know, a parent educator, that I understand what the book is doing now because I've done it through, you know, this is my 4th go around in this curriculum. So I kind of like am intuiting what they're trying to teach. And so I go ahead and do the teaching. Like with all curriculum, especially math, let your learner guide you on what you skip and what you don't skip. Some things just don't, she just wasn't getting, you know, like, some of the geometry stuff, she just didn't like it. She's like, why do I have to keep drawing, you know, pentagons? I'm just like, don't want to do this. So I did find myself kind of skipping that. And I said, okay, I'm trying to understand what they're trying to teach you here. Oh, they're trying to teach you about angles. Okay, let's talk about angles. So I just put like a unit circle up, talked about 360 degrees. We talked about it for a few times and she just got it. I said, okay, let's move on. Skip, 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 skip. And feel free to skip the lessons. I think out of the 135, 138 lessons, I think about 10 or 12 of them are obviously assessments. And those assessments are, the way the book works is there's a review assessment and then there's the assessment. So those are 2 separate lessons. So there's maybe like 20 of those. And we might have skipped another 20 overall lessons because we weren't getting anything out of it. It was mm-hmm. just too much, or we've hit this too many times and it's kind of boring, or so I'm just going to walk through it. That cuts down your amount of work to about 100 lessons, maybe at the most. Obviously, you got to do your reviews. I found if I knew my daughter was ready for the assessment, I just tossed the assessment onto her and had her do it. Sometimes when I knew some of the material was a little bit more challenging, a little bit fresher that she needed to work, we would do the review and then the next day we would do the assessment. So you're going to want to play around and see what works best for you. But for me, that's I kind of took it as I did. So that was Right Start D, and we are going to be moving on to Right Start E now. Just continuing that. Obviously, we're doing Math Mammoth. What level are we on? We're on three now. I think it's the third one.
I think so.
Yeah, I think we're on three. And so we're about halfway through the first book. There's tend to be two books there. So we're doing that. It's a nice review. We're moving through fast. I do love how Right Start really feels like it prepares her for being able to do the Math Mammoth books and do it with confidence and really get that mastery. So we had a good run through it. We moved quickly. This was probably the quickest of the Right Start curriculums that we've done. So we moved the fastest through this one before. Probably Right Start C was our fastest, and this one was even faster than that one. So because coming right off of that, especially when you're doing this review with the Math Mammoth, those first like 15 lessons of Right Start, if you don't do a gap like we don't, we just keep going, they're all review.
Oh, yeah. So and you can just skip right through that.
You can skip through them, or you can just like pick and choose what you want to do. Maybe you know, oh, my learner's not very good at these concepts, or she struggled a little bit here. Let's go ahead and do these quick review. Oh, you've got this. You've got this. Maybe here, do these two problems. Show me that you can do it. Okay, great. You can. Let's move on. Yeah. Right? Don't waste time if you don't have to. It's not necessary for you to have to do everything. So that was really cool. So then let's talk about the second curriculum that we just finished.
Yeah. So we did the All About Reading pre-reading. Now, this isn't one that we did with our older daughter. We just jumped right into AAR1 with her. Mm-hmm. But because our younger daughter's four, we were like, hey, you know, let's grab this pre-reading and check this out and see how helpful this is. So
we are an All About Reading family.
Yeah. We really enjoy their curriculum. So this consists of a parent book, a workbook, a couple of readers, and then some cards. So you get all the main AAR components you know and love in the smaller format. So let's kind of talk through this is all really about letter recognition.
Yes.
Yeah, so is the kind of the primary goal, right?
It's letter exposure.
Yeah, and recognition then, and the sound of the letter. Initials.
Yeah, so in this total curriculum, there's about 78 lessons. I don't think it needs to be that long, and I'll tell you why. One of the things, maybe I'll talk a little bit of criticism that I have for it, is it starts off with capital letters, which I always find to be a little strange because, you know, 99% of the letters you ever see, especially for early readers, are lowercase. And to start off with 26 straight lessons of capital letters, I found that to be a little strange because I would want to introduce the lowercase letters. And so if you're thinking about this from the standpoint of, you know, doing this, especially if you're like a teacher child of reading 100 lessons, that's all lowercase letters. They don't even introduce uppercase letters until like lesson 60 or something like that. Even in the All About Reading level one or whatever it is, they start with lowercase letters. All your flashcards are lowercase letters. Even the flashcards they have in this curriculum are all lowercase letters, but they don't introduce the letter sounds until the second half of the curriculum. They start with capital letter recognition, and then they go into lowercase letter recognition. So if you're trying to figure out how you want to attack this, I would almost start with like midpoint and start when they get into the lowercase letters, lowercase A, which I think is in lesson 27. And maybe teach them in kind of a three-phased approach. So emphasize the lowercase letter, introduce the uppercase letter, and introduce the sound. And maybe try to do it as all as one.
Yeah, I think this is important. Yeah. So our younger daughter has two of the same letters that, you know, her name starts with, and then she has the same letter in her name. And for the longest time, she really felt like these were two different letters. Exactly. Because one was capitalized, obviously, at the start and one was not. And so I kept going, no, it's the same letter, honey. It's the same letter. And she was like, no, it's not.
No.
And so there'd be times when somebody would spell her name in all caps and she would say, no, that's not right. It's not how my name is spelled.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's just that it's all caps.
I think it's just that challenge because it's not just 26 letters. You know, it's double that, right? You know, 52. And having upper and lowercase letters, I think is a challenge, and it's always a challenge. So I would approach it from the standpoint of like, why don't you start with a lowercase letter and then have the uppercase letters kind of be that subordinate to it and say, here's the letter, but here's also its big it's Big Brother, right? It's the same letter, but it's Big Brother.
We have a really neat a magnetic letter kit that we bought, and we'll put it in the show notes. But it's really great because it's actually separated out into cubbies by letter, and each one has an even mixture of uppercase and lowercase letters there. So you can clearly show them like, oh, look, it's from the same spot. They're both this, you know, so.
Well, and the funny thing is, I started the curriculum. I looked through it, but I didn't really like look all the way through it until I got like 10 lessons in. And I realized at the very end, they were going to introduce the sounds, but I had already started doing that. Like, so
it's pretty natural, I think.
And I'm a big fan of not teaching them the name of the letters, just like All About Reading, level A or level one does, where they don't actually tell you that's the letter A. That's the A sound. Mm-hmm. And it's still funny today because my daughter, older daughter, when she spells letters, she'll have to check herself and because sometimes she just wants to spell it via the sound. And she's so used to doing that because of All About Reading. It was kind of funny to kind of not do that with this one. I was just saying, okay, letter A, but it's the letter A. And so it's as an alligator or apple or whatnot, right? And just teaching her the sound as opposed to the name of the sound. So I was kind of doing it in the reverse already, right from the beginning. And so I would really say, like, if you approach this, you don't have to go just serially through the book. Find what works best for your learner. You may have a very smart and adept reader who's really progressing fast, you know, especially with letter recognition, and you can just blaze through this thing and just say, okay, we're going to do, you know, lowercase, uppercase letters and the sound all at once.
Well, and maybe you do it like spread over a whole week, right? Where you introduce the lowercase letter and then you introduce, you know, halfway through the week, you introduce the uppercase version, and then at the end of the week, you do the sound. And, you know, everything you're doing is kind of tying it all together, but you just take a bit more time with it and keep them grouped. Yeah. So can you walk us through the workbook and what the child is expected to do? Because obviously you're talking about, you know, exposing them to the letter, recognize the letters, and then the sounds of the letters. So what pieces are for the kiddo to complete?
Not a problem. So I'll just walk you through a lesson, hypothetical lesson, lesson 12, where we introduce the capital L. So in this case, you know, kind of what we were saying, you would introduce lowercase L, capital L, and maybe the sound at the beginning as well. What they do is you have your reader books, you have a short story that kind of has a rhyming aspect to
it's
it.
It's all a lot of alliteration with L, for
it is.
Example.
It's very, very creative, about 3 to 4 pages long, one sentence. And your reader is not expected to read this. This is what you're reading to your child. And they're very, very fun and playful, you know, little stories about lions not doing this or, you know, whatever. They're very fun and playful. The drawings are really, really
They're
good.
All animal-based, I believe, right?
Most of them, yeah. And then you're basically, they have you do this. Inside the workbook, you have this beautiful drawing of the letter L with some things in the picture that start with L. My daughter, who loves coloring, this is one of her favorite things. So she got to get the page, and we just treated it as a giant coloring page, and we just colored for 10, 15 minutes. And we just talked about the sound of L, the letter of L, how to write L's. We would write some L's over on the side, and we just had a really good, fun one-on-one time just exploring the letter through her favorite thing, which was coloring. So for me, it worked really well. And then while she's coloring, I'll read her the short little story. But sometimes I like to catch up. And so I go back and I read A, B, C, and D, all the other stories as well. And I finally go, okay, ready for our new story? She's like, yeah, Daddy, let's do it. And then I would read her the new one. And then we would talk about the sounds, and I'd say, tell me, you know, raise your hand when you hear an L sound and blah, 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 things like that. And then beyond that, then you get to choose one of these activities to do. It's funny. It's always the same thing. Choose one or more activities on page 195. And so make sure you have your bookmarks ready for that one, because you keep going back to this page, and they give you about 8 options to kind of explore the act of creating that letter, whether it's writing it, whether it's taking pieces of, like, you know, macaroni and forming it, running your finger through a salt tray or something like
which
that.
We tried, and that was a terrible idea.
It was a terrible idea because she found out I didn't use salt, I used sugar. And she was like, oh, this is super tasty. I'm like, no, experiment done.
Well, and it kind of went everywhere.
Yeah, it kind of went everywhere. And then they have ideas like letter hunts where you go around and find letters. So opening books or going to the store and finding things that have that letter and whatnot. That was really helpful because my daughter does like to point out things that she sees. Mm-hmm. So that was really, really good. She likes this. But she's She's a very sharp kid. She's figuring out how to read. She's starting to read, proto-read some Bob books and everything. So she's moving through reading faster than my oldest did at the same time. And so,
yeah, much faster.
So from my standpoint, it's like, oh, I got a break here because this one's really like, she has the ability to memorize really well. My older one struggles at memorization. So that's kind of a little bit of the delta between mm-hmm. the two of them. And that's proving to be, you know, more advantageous when it comes to reading, because my daughter just, you know, looks at a letter, you tell her the sound, and tomorrow she'll see that same letter and tell you the sound, and a week from then she'll see it and say the sound. So yeah, she just gets it really fast. And so that's a nice little benefit, you know. At least, you know, everybody's like, oh man, Matt's gonna get an easier one, this one hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, who knows what else gonna be harder. Yeah, but this is coming a bit easier. And I think because we really struggled with our older daughter when we started with reading, and we felt like AAR1 for her was almost too much at the beginning, we thought we would start earlier with this. So this is one of those ones, your mileage may vary, and until you start teaching your child, you won't really know.
Exactly.
this is, you know, significantly cheaper than the rest of the All About Reading mm-hmm. levels. I think it's good to have this structure. Yeah. I like that we did this because it gave you something to work through. Our daughter loves the stories and the coloring pages. I've seen her coloring those, and she really enjoys them. So,
and I have a good
it's nice.
I have a good time coloring with her as well, and just having that moment where, as an educator, you're locked in on something together, and you're sharing and talking and communicating, and, you know, asking, you know, consent. Hey, can mm-hmm. I color this green? Oh no, Daddy, that's supposed to be orange. I go, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. Definitely, orange is a good color. You know, just like walking through that experience is really enjoyable. And because a lot of times we can be very distracted and we want to move quicker, especially if we have other kids. And that feeling of getting forced down into that moment and sharing that experience, I think it's nice. I like that. I feel like I'm free to enjoy myself in that moment, which I think is a nice little wrinkle.
I think she definitely is taking something away from this. I know tonight we were working on tacos, and she was like, tacos. And she will all the time, whatever we say, she will pick out that first letter and really give that sound.
Well, and the funny thing is, there's a lot of activities that follow on. They tend to have an activity section on the next page. So the lessons are about 2 pages each, maybe 2 to 3 pages, depending on things. And they'll have an activity like taco, or, you know, you say a word and then they're supposed to tell you what that first sound is, or the last sound in the word. And so they give you those type of things. And then periodically through the curriculum, there's only about maybe 15 of them where the cards come into play. So they have these activity cards and tend to be images or maybe a word or something like that. And they're supposed to pick things out and whatnot. Not a lot. And then at the very end, they have the sound cards for the various sounds. And so you can see the letter, and then over the, you know, basically in the background is something that is that letter. So it'd be a boy holding an ear for the E or whatever it might be. So they have some nice little letter cards that you can use if your learner likes flashcards. My daughter loves anything that you just quiz her on. She loves that type of like, I can memorize. And mm-hmm. that's something she really enjoys. So it really, I found this curriculum really, you know, kind of latched onto her really well. And she really liked it. We're moving on to a Kumon book, just doing a little bit of phonics work. She's done a little bit of Explode the Code. It was Get Ready for the Code as well. So we feel where she's sitting right now, she is ready for All About Reading level one.
And so when she turns 5 in the fall.
I think in the next 2 months, I'm going to get everything prepped and ready, pull everything down, get all the cards set, get all the activity pages ready. Because I really feel she's ready for that. She's expressed a lot that she is ready for reading. So this has helped. Some of the Get Ready for the Code stuff has helped. So if you've got a pre-K student out there and you're like kind of looking for a little bit of structure around reading, this All About Reading curriculum was a really good choice for us. Some of the other ones that I've mentioned were very helpful as well. And just testing, because I've gone through a lot of these curriculums with my older daughter, and I kind of understand where a lot of the sticking points were for mm-hmm. us with that. And obviously that was my first run through homeschooling. So obviously I made a lot of mistakes, and my daughter's suffering from it. She'll suffer for the rest of her life because her father.
But she'll talk about therapy someday.
Yeah, exactly.
Why did he push me into teach your child to read 100 easy lessons at age 5?
Teach your child how to cry while reading.
Oh, man.
There's a lot of things that I've learned over the last few years. So I'm really just trying to feel out where my youngest is so that I can then, you know, we can jump into it with a little bit more thoughtfulness. That I was so green back then. I didn't know what I was doing. I think I have a lot more knowledge now.
I think this is about foundation too, yeah, right? Where, yeah, you know, our older daughter, well, both of our daughters have done a little bit of preschool, mm-hmm, just, you know, a couple of days a week, part days type thing. And they focus on letter sounds then. Yeah. So with our older daughter, we were kind of like, hey, we know you've done letter sounds. You know, we felt like she was basically ready. I love the comprehensive nature of this. It's like, mm-hmm, you've been through every letter, you've been through both lowercase and uppercase and all the sounds. So when you started AAR1 with our older daughter, you had to redo a bunch of letter recognition.
I had to do a bunch of stuff.
And early sounds and stuff.
I had to do a bunch of stuff I thought she kind of already knew.
Exactly.
And or was ready for. And she just wasn't ready for it.
This is nice because, yeah, it kind of takes that guesswork out of it. Because you've like, okay, hey, I followed this program and I went through it prescriptively. I know we've covered all the letters. I know we've covered all the sounds. Yeah. And you know, we've quizzed on them. And so I think we're sitting in a more prepared position. And this gives a great foundation to jump into the first level.
Absolutely agree. This was so hopefully this helped you. Right Start D and the All About Reading pre-reading curriculum. We'll go ahead and push links to those in the show notes as well. So, mm-hmm, if you guys have any other questions, you guys can put it on the Facebook page and all that type of stuff, or leave a comment below in YouTube and we'll be happy to answer that as well.
Yeah.
But we will see you next time.
Thanks so much for joining us today and making us a part of your homeschool journey. Please engage with us on social media. Join our Homeschool Together podcast group on Facebook and find us at Homeschool Together Podcast on Instagram. We'd love to hear your feedback, questions, and recommendations. Until next time,
happy homeschooling!